104.3 FM and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
By down all in the ground, I'd root that mountain down, and I wish I was a mole in the ground.
Tune in to KBOO Monday mornings at 9 for the Old Mole Variety Hour, your source for radically democratic news, views, reviews, and interviews, stories of ordinary and extraordinary people working to root down the oppressive institutions of capitalism. That's the Old Mole Variety Hour, Monday mornings at 9.
This is Medea Benjamin. I hope you listen to Community Radio KBOO 90.7.
Good evening, everybody. I got locked out of my computer, and so I am trying to fix that right now. Go ahead, and I have a show for you this evening. I just need to access it. So I'm going to turn on some music real quick, and I'll be right back. Maybe in a minute.
Welcome to PDX Progressive Talk Radio, where progressive dialogue meets local action. Every fourth Wednesday of the month, join us for insights and solutions on critical issues impacting Oregon. Let's create change together. We are PDX Progressive Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for sticking with me on this Wednesday evening. If you are listening live, it is June 26th, 2024, and we had a little change in programming. I'd been advertising on social all month about a candidate showcase for District 3, and some of our, you know, candidates are busy people. So we are actually changed the schedule. We're going to have that candidate showcase on the next show, so July 24th. And that's just going to have to be the way it is. So it's June 26th right now. It's a little after 7 p.m. and I am all together finally. And you are listening to KBOO Community Radio at 90.7 FM right here in Portland. But do you know you can listen all over by going to kboo.fm/listen-live. And if you just go to kboo.fm and hit the little live button, you can listen to it anywhere. So tell your friends, no matter where they are, they can listen to it. So tonight, I want to talk with you about the upcoming debate tomorrow. It's going to be aired or hosted by CNN. But if you're like one of us, many millions of people who have cut the cord, you know, gotten rid of your cable box and Comcast and Frontier and all those, oh, I guess Frontier is now Ziply, all of those cable companies that keep wanting to steal all of our money and give us garbage. We went to the antenna and I have a Chromecast and I love it. And then, oh my goodness, I wasn't going to talk. I hadn't considered talking about this, but it's awesome. And I'm not advertising here or anything. I'm just giving you my experience. I have two parrots and they have their own room. My husband, if he's listening, he's probably laughing. They have their own room and I have a 35-40 inch plasma screen TV in their room, and I did have it connected as a monitor to a laptop, but the laptop died. So I was like, okay, what do I do? I don't want to fix this. I'm not in the mood to do that right now. I'll go get them a new Chromecast and I'll just work it out. Maybe I'll just stream from my laptop in the office. The new Chromecast is friggin' cool. It's like Netflix in a little box, right? So you plug that into your TV like you would your regular Chromecast, and it comes with a little remote, and the interface, when it loads, after you get it all set up, when it loads, the interface is like Netflix or Roku or whatever. So you just find the app that you're looking for that you want to watch. They have Netflix, and they have YouTube. We use YouTube for the birds all the time. There's a bird station called Parrot TV, and they have live music with parrots in their enclosure, just doing what parrots do, and my birds love it. And they have music going along with it, so I have that Bluetooth into my little JBL Bluetooth speaker, and they listen to that all day. But there's other apps on this Chromecast, so you could get it. They've got Disney on there. I believe I saw Peacock. They have a whole bunch of stuff on the new Chromecast. And if you have a comment about that yourself, we are PDX Progressive Talk Radio is on Instagram. The phones are down tonight, which is okay, because usually if I'm running the show on board, if I'm board hopping and talking and running the show myself, trying to do the phones is, in its current state at KBOO, not prime to do. So I have, let me see, yes, you can go to Instagram and you can message me at PDXPROGTR. So it's basically PDX Progressive Talk Radio, but it's PDX Pro GTR is our username, and I am on there right now. So I haven't had time to get this channel going. If those of you who know me in person, I'm a digital marketing professional and I do stuff like that, but I have not had time to work on this channel. So there's not much there right now, but you can go and message us, and hopefully I'll have more coming soon. So tonight I wanted to talk about, after going off on this tangent, I wanted to talk about the debates. Who do you think will win the debate? Do you think Trump is even preparing for it? As I understand, he is having some policy talks with his quote-unquote professionals. And Biden, they're trying to say Biden. So the deal is, it seems as though the people in the Republican stratosphere want us to believe that Biden is on some sort of substance because of his State of the Union speech. If you watched the State of the Union speech, Biden pretty much killed it. He was fabulous. He was very direct, driven, and to the point, and he didn't do any of the meandering stuff and hate talk and everything like this. He was to the point, telling us what he believed his the administration's achievements were in the past year and what the vision is for the future. Well, if you follow Congress at all, you know that the current Congress is the most ineffective Congress we have had almost in our entire lifetime. And the Republicans are leading that effort at the moment. Before they came into office, and I'm still curious as to how that happened, because the fully Democratic Congress before them was the most productive Congress that we've seen in forever. They passed the infrastructure bill. They passed the CARES Act. They passed the CHIPS Act. They passed a bunch of legislation that has arguably put us in our current position of having the longest stretch of best employment numbers in 50 years, right? So people sitting out here going, oh, this is a neck-to-neck thing between Trump and Biden, are not paying attention. All of the metrics that they touted Trump as being an awesome president, Biden's blown out of the water, and all of a sudden he's some horrible, wretched leader. And to this day, I will never understand that. And I don't understand why. Well, to some extent, I do. If you watch any of the videos with Jerry Klepper, I think that's his name. I might be off on his name. Jordan Klepper. If you watch any of his videos, or there's another man named Luke Beasley, he does videos in much of this capacity, which is how he came about to building his YouTube channel. They go out and they interview Trump supporters. And I gather to some extent they're cherry picking who they're talking to. Just Jordan Klepper does it for humor. Luke Beasley is actually a little bit more transparent in who he's interviewing, and he even has a show called Mocha with MAGA. Mocha's with MAGA, where he sat down. I don't know that he's still doing it, but he sat down with Trump supporters and would ask them questions about why they support him and in what capacity would they still maintain his vote. Interesting discussions, but really not anything that you would feel is drastically different than what we know when we talk to that segment of the population. So along with the debates, there is also discussion about Project 2025. And I believe that not enough people know about this. Word has it across the digital landscape and radio, different stations across the nation. Many aren't talking about this in the right wing. Right? The right wing of the political sphere is apparently not speaking about this because nobody seems to know. So I went and did some research myself, because I've been hearing commentary and I've read a little bit, and it's a scary platform, right? You can go to www.project2025.org and just look at the playbook. They're taking 180 days. If they win the election in November, it will take 180 days to completely transform our government into something that most of us, I would arguably say 70% of us in this nation, do not want. And just from reading the playbook area of this project, some of the concerns are they want to basically fire current government officials who disagree with a certain projected leader, and they will replace those people with yes people. is what it comes down to. And then they want to invoke the Christian theocracy as our government, essentially. And if you look through, every time I'm reading about or listening to information about any of this Project 2025, the thing that keeps coming into my head, and I do a lot of stuff on TikTok as well. In fact, I'm going to play something for you here in a little while from a person on that I found on TikTok. Every time I'm hearing anything about this, the thing that keeps banging in my head is that is unconstitutional. Everything in this plan, for a large section of it, is unconstitutional. It will be litigated. It will go through the courts. And then I remember the part where they're going to fire all of the government officials who disagree with this dear leader, and they're going to bring in trained, some have historical reference in the U.S. government as a right-wing advocate, but many of them are going to be newly trained, yes, people in specific government roles after the last administration basically implanted three conservative Supreme Court justices. So the banging in my head of that's unconstitutional, it will never work, kind of falls on its face when you know all of the things that have happened. Then it becomes extremely worrisome and it becomes extremely scary. And I am going to take, what time is it? I'm going to play this. I happened to see it this afternoon as I was trying to gather some more information. And it's a 7-minute video that I think you would benefit you to listen to this. And I have some other stuff after this. I was able to go to Madras this past couple of days. When did I go? I went over the weekend. I went to Madras to the Oregon State Delegate Conference for the Democratic Party of Oregon. What an experience. They made me a delegate. I got to vote. And I know some of the people that are going to Chicago. So yay, congratulations to all of the delegates going to Chicago in August for the Democratic Party convention. I'm so excited for you. Do the work, guys. Do it for us. You've come this far. We got this. We can do it. And then please, people, vote. Vote. Get your friends to vote. Get your neighbors to vote. Get your family to vote. I don't care. Either side of the aisle really doesn't matter. Just get people to vote. The more turnout we get, the more advantage we tend to have. So I wanted to get a little bit of that out. There's also state races going on in November. And so be sure to go to the Secretary of State's website, check the My Vote to make sure your voter registration is valid and you're good to go. And vote, please. Tell your friends to vote. Do a whole campaign around voting. And I'm going to have you listen to this real quick. If I can get it to play.
Have you heard about Project 2025? Hey, it's Dan Zimmerman, and welcome back to Illustrate to Educate. In this video, we'll dive into everything you need to know about Project 2025, including 5 criticisms. Remember, if you disagree with Project 2025 or its criticisms, please don't dislike the video, but instead respectfully comment your thoughts below. Project 2025, led by the Heritage Foundation, is a comprehensive initiative designed to prepare for a potential conservative administration starting in January 2025. It is structured around 4 main pillars: policy development, personnel recruitment, training, and strategic planning for the early days of the new administration. Here's a more detailed breakdown of each component. First, let's look at the policy agenda. The conservative promise is a detailed policy guide that provides specific recommendations for governing major. Led by the Heritage Foundation, is a comprehensive initiative designed to prepare for a potential conservative administration starting in January 2025. It is structured around four main pillars: policy development, personnel recruitment, training, and strategic planning for the early days of the new administration. Here's a more detailed breakdown of each component. First, let's look at the policy agenda. The Conservative Promise is a detailed policy guide that provides specific recommendations for governing major federal agencies. The guide encompasses conservative solutions to various issues, including economic policies, healthcare, education, and national security. It is intended to serve as a blueprint for the next conservative administration, ensuring that key conservative values and strategies are implemented effectively from the outset. The second pillar is the personnel database. Project 2025 includes a comprehensive personnel database aimed at identifying and vetting potential appointees for various positions within the federal government. This database seeks to ensure that a future conservative administration has a pool of qualified, ideologically aligned individuals ready to fill key roles. The recruitment efforts span across different sectors and backgrounds, targeting experienced professionals who can execute the administration's agenda efficiently. The third part is the training through the Presidential Administration Academy. To prepare the identified personnel for their roles, Project 2025 has established the Presidential Administration Academy. This academy offers a range of training programs, including workshops, seminars, online courses, and mentorship from former administration officials. The training is designed to equip future administrators with the necessary skills and knowledge to implement conservative policies effectively. Fourth is the 180-day playbook. The 180-day playbook is a strategic document outlining the immediate actions to be taken by the new administration within the first 180 days. This playbook is crafted to enable swift policy reversals and the implementation of conservative priorities, ensuring a smooth and impactful start. It includes specific actions for various departments and agencies, focusing on undoing the policies of the previous administration and setting the stage for long-term conservative governance. Now let's talk about the coalition and organizational structure. Project 2025 is supported by a coalition of over 100 conservative organizations, including think tanks, advocacy groups, and academic institutions. This broad coalition brings together diverse expertise and resources to support the project's goals. Notable participants include former officials from the Trump administration who contribute their experience and insights to the project. There are specific policy focus areas in Project 2025. Project 2025 proposes significant changes to federal policies on reproductive health. These include removing references to abortion from federal laws and regulations, reversing the approval of abortion pills, and defunding clinics that provide abortion or contraception services. The initiative also aims to reinstate the Comstock Act to ban mail order abortions and reshape Medicaid to avoid funding reproductive health care services that include abortion. Another focus area is cultural and social issues. The project emphasizes the restoration of traditional family values and religious principles. This includes opposing policies perceived as supporting cultural Marxism and promoting a pro-life agenda. It advocates for policies that support the nuclear family, religious liberty, and traditional gender roles. There's also the leadership of Project 2025, which is directed by Paul Danz, a former chief of staff at the Office of Personnel Management during the Trump administration, with Spencer Schertin serving as associate director. Both bring extensive experience from their previous roles in government, contributing to the strategic planning and execution of the project. So what are the criticisms of Project 2025? Project 2025 has sparked significant criticism from various sources. Critics argue that the project embodies a comprehensive plan to centralize executive power, erode democratic norms, and enforce a far-right agenda on American governance and society. Let's take a look at five specific criticisms in more detail. First is the centralization of executive power. One major criticism is that Project 2025 seeks to expand presidential control over the federal bureaucracy. The plan includes reviving the Schedule F classification, which would allow the president to replace thousands of civil service employees with political appointees loyal to the administration. Critics argue this would undermine the nonpartisan nature of the civil service and politicize federal agencies, making them tools of the executive branch rather than independent entities. Second is the attack on democratic institutions. Critics highlight that Project 2025's blueprint includes proposals to dismantle or weaken key democratic institutions. This includes plans to defund the Department of Justice and dismantle the FBI and other agencies that could act as checks on presidential power. Such moves are seen as efforts to undermine the rule of law and enable the executive branch to operate with little oversight or accountability. Third, the project also faces criticism for its potential use of government power to target political opponents and critics. There are fears that it would enable the executive to pursue legal action against political adversaries and critical media outlets, drawing parallels to authoritarian regimes where dissent is suppressed through state mechanisms. The fourth criticism is the social and cultural agenda. Project 2025's policy agenda includes strong positions on social issues, promoting conservative values that critics argue could roll back rights and protections for various groups. The document outlines plans to restrict LGBTQ+ rights, enforce strict anti-abortion measures, and integrate Christian nationalist principles into government policy. This agenda has raised concerns about the erosion of civil liberties and the imposition of a particular religious and ideological framework on the entire nation. Lastly is the environmental and climate policy rollbacks. The project's stance on environmental regulations is contentious. It proposes significant rollbacks of climate policies, which critics argue would have detrimental effects on efforts to combat climate change and protect the environment. This aspect of the plan is seen as catering to business interests at the expense of long-term ecological sustainability. Did you find this video about Project 2025 to be helpful? Remember not to dislike the video, but rather like the video, comment, and subscribe to support
so there
more
you have
simple
it.
And objective videos.
And I am actually going to shut that off. I'm actually going to attach this video to the web page that we create when we do the shows. So you'll be able to find it on KBOO.FM, PDX Progressive Talk Radio for the month of June. And we'll let that sit for a minute. In the meantime, I was going to have a call-in show, but the phones aren't working, so you can message me at, what was that again? PDX, PROGTR, so Progressive Talk Radio, PDX Progressive Talk Radio on Instagram, and I will be happy to answer you. Or, you know, I'll get your comment on the air as well. Are there concerns that you have with Project 2025 and what's to come in that direction? The next thing I wanted to talk about with you was the upcoming Blues Festival. I wanted to do, but I had another one. I don't know why that got stuck there. So if you are into watching the Portland City Council meetings at all, right now the City Council is debating on whether they want to re-up on the contract with the JOHS, and they're having a little battle with the county about this. On June 26th, or actually June 20th, in the Willamette Week's online paper, Sophie Peel reported, oh, it was June 26th, okay. Sophie Peel reported that city officials, city and county officials, have been negotiating this contract for more than a year amid tensions, and I'm quoting, amid tensions over how $140 million is spent each year by the office. Over the past 2 years, the city has threatened multiple times to pull out of the joint office, alleging the county has outsized control over the office and its spending. but it's never quite pulled up the plug over fear that shelters might close. The article goes on to say that the city council on Thursday discussed at length the three-year contract that's now on the table. It's likely to vote on the contract next week, but in the meantime, the council passed a number of amendments that could make the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners bristle. In parentheses, the county board approved the contract last week because the city passed amendments. Now that the city passed amendments, the county board will have to go and vote to approve the contract again without the city's amendments. So I heard on the way in that the county has apparently, and I need more information on this, but apparently the county has instructed the JOHS to no longer buy tents and tarps, and that's what a lot of this has contributed to the debate over the new contract. The article from Sophie Peel goes on to say the two amendments most likely that they were talking about previously, most likely to give the county pause, the city council amid a provision that would convene the council in added a provision that would convene the council in October 2024 to look at the progress of the joint office. Should the council determine that the joint office isn't fulfilling promises of the contract, city commissioners could vote to terminate the contract. You can find this article on the Willamette Week's website for June 20th, 2024. So, yes, I'm a little confused. That video about Project 2025 does kind of set you back a little. It kind of puts you on your on your heels a little bit because there's a lot of stuff in there that could completely and totally throw us into a dystopian hellscape from the way I'm seeing it. At this time, I was going to have call-ins, and that's not going to work, but I do have a transition song that I want you to listen to. I've been on TikTok for a few years now and trying to figure out what I'm going to do with my channel. I have a couple channels now. One has almost 3,200 followers. That's not many in the land of TikTok, but because I don't use it incredibly often, that's quite a few, and I'm starting to build a more of a following. TikTok is a great platform. I really hope it doesn't go away. Sometimes it's a little lame, but you know, if you find good people to follow, it can be informative, entertaining, and educational, which are the three foundational pillars of so anything in social media land. So I'm on TikTok just kind of scrolling through videos, and I come across this guy, and there's a lot of artists on TikTok, some really, really good artists. There's harp players, there's guitar players, there's singers. There's one gentleman who's super entertaining. He sings Disney songs, and he's fabulous. I'll have to air him on here at some point. But for the culture and purpose of this show, I thought this guy here, it would be a great addition to at least share some of his music. I ran across him. His name is Jesse Wells, and I found out recently that he actually has a YouTube channel as well, which was good because I don't want to stream TikTok from the station. His name is Jesse Wells, and he kind of has a Bob Dylan vibe, right? His music seems to be very influenced by Bob Dylan, and he's definitely an interesting character. So I'm going to have you listen a little to a song called Poor.
If you worked a little harder, then you'd have a lot more. The blame and the shame's on you for being so damn poor. It ain't the price gouging, and it ain't the inflation. It ain't everyone above you trying to make a buck from you in school and the whole congregation. I had that reduced lunch, I had the benefit cards, never occurred to me to blame my family for life being so damn hard. I should have paid attention back when I was in school. Then I could figure up the tax. I would know a lot of facts. I missed the class where they taught the rules. I was memorizing capitals. I was in the spelling bee. I must have skipped the part where they taught the art of private equity. I was selling chocolate bars. I had a disorder. I was cutting up a frog, got lost in the fog, learning how to play recorder. If you only worked a little harder. If you worked a little harder. If you worked a little harder. If you worked a little harder, then you'd have a lot more. So the shame and the blame's on you for being so damn poor. It ain't the banks, and it ain't the taxes. It ain't the payday loans and high rent homes and predatory fees and practices. Wave your dumb flag, whatever it means. But you should ask yourself, when it comes to health of the poor, really all that free? If you worked a little harder. If you worked a little harder. If you worked a little harder, you'd have a lot more. So the blame and the shame's on you for being so damn poor.
This is so cool. Jesse's awesome. He's got, he does, it sounded like his voice was a little extra raspy tonight. He does shows and everything. He's out and about doing a whole bunch of great acts. And I'll be excited to see him if he ever comes to Portland. I'm going to hopefully try and see if I can interview him. He's a young guy. He doesn't look like he's much more than 25-ish, maybe. So I went over to the Waterfront Blues Festival website at waterfrontbluesfest.com just to see what acts are there. Ben Harper, I'm going to change my volunteer date, I think. Ben Harper and the Innocent Criminals is going to be on July 6th. Ben Harper is one of my most favorite artists. Greenski Bluegrass is on the 7th. Lucinda Williams, that's another one I might change. She's on the 5th. Lucinda Williams at 9 o'clock on the 5th. On the 4th is St. Paul and the Broken Bones. I have not heard of them. Margot Price, Bobby Rush, and North Mississippi All-Stars are going to be on the 6th. I think they refrain from having a lot of, like, Lucinda Williams or something on the 4th because of the fireworks. I don't want to interrupt the show, but that's just my thought. So the venue, as you may know, is the Waterfront in Portland at Tom McCall Waterfront Amphitheater. Well, it's not really an amphitheater. It's just that the Waterfront Park. If you haven't, if you're new to Portland and you haven't gone to this festival, you are missing out. You are so missing out. So go on over to waterfrontbluesfest.com and check out the website. See who's playing. It's always a good time. And let's see. The delegates, the convention for getting more involved in the Democratic Party will help me. These are some notes that I wrote earlier. So getting more involved in the Democratic Party will help me give you a better experience with this show. And that's my goal. Because most of my past learning and involvement with government debate or, you know, talking about different things within the government sphere were on the national level, right? Doing the little Facebook debates and stuff. But back in 1994, I graduated from broadcasting school, and I was actually a volunteer here at KBOO for a short time. And it wasn't until I got into doing radio that I really became interested in the government and how it works and the different people and what they do and what they stand for. And I had left and gone to Seattle, and since I was already interested, I just kept growing my knowledge base on how the government works, right? So the three independent branches, what each one stands for, what each one does, what they're responsible for and not, and why certain things happen. And I was also a federal civilian contractor for the Army and the Navy, a combination of 10 years. Four and a half in the Army and six in the Navy. So with the Navy. So I have a lot of different influences in my view of how government works. And when I came back to Portland shortly after, I started volunteering with the Willamette Falls Media Center in Oregon City. That's the local cable access TV station. You can find them on channel Comcast, if you're on Comcast, on channel 11 in Oregon City in that area. Caleb Burns started the show in that environment many years ago. We're going on like 15 years now when Caleb started. And I met Caleb in 2015. I started as a camera person for the show at the Willamette Falls Media Center. And then I worked as camera person for a while. And that's where I met Moses Ross. And Moses would be a guest periodically. Well, Caleb got sick and he asked Moses to take over the show. And Moses asked me to be an on and off co-host for when he couldn't get guests, because we still wanted me working the cameras, but you know, kind of trying to run a full hour show by yourself is no joke. So especially on TV. On the radio, you have a little more flexibility. Like, I didn't do my hair and makeup today, not that you need to know, but I didn't do my hair and makeup today. I'm not dressed especially nice or whatever. I could just come in. On the show, you have to make sure you're prepped and all this other stuff. So I was a co-host on and off, and then Moses went for the chair position for his neighborhood association, and he asked me to take on the show while he was fulfilling his obligations, because they have a meeting on the night that the show is on. Okay, sure. So and now I'm in a position where, wow, I really need to actually dig in and start learning more about how this whole thing works, what the issues are, building an educated opinion on said positions and why it's important, why it's not, why you should pay attention. Maybe this one you can just watch, because there's a lot of stuff that happens in government that you can just kind of watch. But that, I think, ended with the with Trump taking over for 4 years. So we worked with the Willamette Falls Media Center for quite some time. And then, gosh, we're going on a year and a half here. About a year and a half ago, I came back to KBOO, and I ended up, I am a board member, full disclosure, I am a board member. And I asked Moses and our other engineer how they felt about bringing the show over here, because I wanted us to actually grow and build a following and have an audience, because we're the only real progressive show in the area, and we weren't being able to be heard on cable access. I kept hearing that nobody could hear us, and the station was doing what they could, but Comcast didn't seem to really be doing anything. So I wanted us to be heard. So we ended up coming over here, and it's just been a fabulous experience. I love KBOO, and I loved them before, and I love them now, and I will do my best to make sure that we are always on the radio, that we can always be here for you every month and share with you what's happening in the world in a different view, right? You have mainstream media, and you have the cable shows, and you have, for the people who listen to OAN or Fox or whatever, you guys all have that stuff. You have Lars Larson, you have, but we don't have Progressive Radio and KBOO. KBOO is a progressive radio station serving underserved communities that the mainstream just kind of fluffs off, right? They don't have content that you care about. They have the commercial money grubbing, give it to me content that maybe a lot of us, it turns us off, right? So this past week, now that's, I have ADHD, and one thing about ADHD is you go off on these 12-minute side trips. So this past week, I had the opportunity to go to Madras, as I told you earlier in the show, for the Oregon State Delegate Convention held by the Democratic Party of Oregon. And I was designated as state delegate, and I got to vote for state delegates who were competing to go to Chicago to the convention to vote for Joe Biden to be our nominee for the president of the United States in November. Well, and then after for that election, right? And then I wanted to say thank you to the Democratic Party of Oregon for putting on such a well-organized and fabulous event. It was definitely an honor to be there. The convention in Chicago will take place in August from the 19th to the 22nd. They do have volunteer opportunities. If you are interested or you've done it before and you've been considering it, go to Chicago 2024.com, and they have a full list. They do note that they may or may not be able to may or may not be able to tell you what's happening. No, may or may not be able to support travel and accommodations. So keep that in mind. And as a KBOO, they switched some things around in the studio, and I think it's fabulous what they've done, but I don't know that it's a complete transition. If you want to volunteer, let me see if I can get this over here. If you want to volunteer at KBOO, which I implore you to do so, we have tons of volunteer opportunities. I'm not sure if you were to come volunteer now. Let me go to Galaxy. KBOO's volunteer portal is called Galaxy. And sometimes if you type in KBOO and Galaxy, it'll come up. Anyway, get in touch with our volunteer coordinator at volunteer@kboo.org, and he can help you with everything you need to know to become a KBOO volunteer. And the portal is Galaxy, and inside that portal you see all of the many volunteer opportunities. They have classes. You can have your own show. You can run the fancy board here for your own show. You get to play your music, you get to talk about your politics, you get to share events that are going on, you can talk about what your hobbies are, what you like to do in your world, and you will have listeners who appreciate you, follow you, and talk about you. So it's a win-win all the way around, and I'm not finding Galaxy for some reason. Let's go Google Galaxy. You would think I would have it bookmarked, but I found it. So some of the opportunities currently happening at KBOO, with my board opposition. So Waterfront Blues Festival has shadowing, has tabling. Again, you may not, if you are not already a volunteer, you may not be able to get in on this because there's a suite of classes that you need to take. They teach you about FCC requirements. They teach you about how to write for the news, how to produce a show. You can get tours of the different production rooms and learn how to use them. And it's just, I can't say enough how awesome this experience is. And if you have kids, teenagers, I guess, I don't know the ages for Youth Collective, but we do have a Youth Collective, so you can always call the station and find out how that works. You can be a volunteer news writer. You can do reception at the front desk. You can add music beds to promos. Not a lot of people know how to do that. They might be able to record the promo, but they don't know how to put music to it. You can learn Audacity, and you can learn how to add music to it. You can also do audio editing. And it's a real kickback type of thing that's no stress for the most part, except for like Blues Festival, then it's kind of stressful because everybody's hurrying up. You don't want to be late. and because you mess everything up if you're late. So you can be a news reporter. You can do a news anchor. I actually want to get in on that. I have to talk to Althea, is our news director, and I have to talk to her about being a news anchor or a producer. I'm not sure if I... Well, producer would be cool too. Let me see. News board operator, I would go for that. Anyway, so there's tons of things, and there's classes. So we are looking for board members. And if you're interested in being a board member, you can find more information about that at kboo.fm for the board of directors. And they are having a class tomorrow online via Zoom at 6 p.m. That's June 27th to learn how to be a board member at KBOO. And they are also having on July 11th public affairs orientation. So this show, PDX Progressive Talk Radio, is a public affairs show. And if you have questions, you can message me via Instagram at PDX, PROGTR. That's Progressive Talk Radio on Instagram. PDX, Progressive Talk Radio on Instagram. And you can just send me a message there and I can give you more information. This is a public affairs show, so you learn what the requirements are to run a public affairs show. So public affairs shows are like talk shows, subject matter shows, and stuff like that. And that's about it on this end. You can message me if you want. So keep an eye, if you are in Portland, keep an eye on what the Portland City Council is doing. And for people on the Portland City Council, I have a note for you to take heed. Maybe someone at the city needs to learn how to put timestamps on YouTube videos so we can access information that we want. I was going to share some of the commentary going on at the Portland City Council about the JO, the Joint Office of Homeless Services issues, and I'm not sitting through an hour video to find it. It would be cool because you can do this now. You can set timestamps for your video with the information that is in that piece of the video. And people can go to the video and say they want to research what's happening with tents and tarps. And so they go to the JOHS part of the video and they click on that and it takes you right to it. So you've been able to do that on YouTube for a few years now. Just saying. And the debates. The debates are tomorrow night. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm bringing popcorn. I'm going to have popcorn and be sitting on my couch watching that stuff happen. It's almost 8 o'clock. It's going to cut me off here in a few minutes. So I think I will play a CD, and I will thank you all for giving me the pleasure of your ears. allowing me the honor of your listening time. Let's put it that way. See you next month, July 24th at 7 p.m. for the Candidate Showcase for District 3. Thank you for listening.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland, 90.7 on your FM dial.
K282BH Philomer on 104.3 FM.
And K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
And streaming on the web at kboo.fm.